In this story, we're going to begin at the mansion, and who knows where we might end up. So to set the scene, Tony's at the mansion with Teddy again, because Elizabeth and Solange have gone shopping, and they've roped Rosie into reading the part of Alice, but they can't find anybody to do the guest star of this chapter. So, well, Rosie, I just don't know how we're going to do Humpty Dumpty without anyone to be Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty. But he's kind of rude, isn't he?
Well, I should think he's very rude.
I want to hear their story. It's taking forever. Oh, there's Dad. I'll get him.
What? Are you serious? You're not going to ask Quentin to participate?
Oh, yes, I am. As a matter of fact, he likes acting. Dad! Oh, Dad!
What?
I have a favour to ask you.
What?
It's lunchtime, right?
Yes.
Well, do you think you might be able to help us tell a little story to Teddy here? I'm helping Tony babysit him then. Babe, I'm not a baby! Yes, I know you're not a baby. I'm helping Tony watch him while Mum and Solange are shopping, and I just thought that you might...
Will you get to the point, please?
All right. Anyway, I thought you might like to read a little story with us. You know, like play a little part with us. Come on, Dad. You know you want to.
Ugh. You know what? I've nothing else to do. All right, all right. What am I doing?
Well, you're going to read the part of Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty?
Yes, Humpty Dumpty.
All right, I've nothing else to do, like I said. I was just going to have a bite to eat, but I'm not really hungry. Got a bit of a headache. So, why not, right? Why not? Oh, thank you so much, Quentin, dear. I really appreciate it. Yes, very well. Shall we get going with this? I've only got half an hour. All right, all right. Humpty Dumpty. However, the egg only got larger and larger, and more human. And when she'd come within a few yards of it, she saw that it had eyes, and nose, and mouth. And when she had come close to it, she saw clearly that it was Humpty Dumpty himself.
But it can't be anybody else,
she said to herself.
I'm certain of it, as if his name were written all over his face.
It might have been written 100 times easily on that enormous face. Humpty Dumpty was sitting with his legs crossed like a Turk on the top of a high wall, such a narrow one that Alice quite wondered how he could keep his balance, and as his eyes were steadily fixed in the opposite direction, and he didn't take the least notice of her, she thought he must be a stuffed figure after all.
And how exactly like an egg he is,
she said aloud, standing with her hands ready to catch him, for she was every moment expecting him to fall. It's very provoking, Humpty Dumpty said after a long silence, looking away from Alice as he spoke, to be called an egg. Very.
I said you looked like an egg, sir,
Alice gently explained.
And some eggs are very pretty, you know,
she added, hoping to turn her remark into a sort of compliment. Some people, said Humpty Dumpty, looking away from her as usual, have no more sense than a baby. Alice didn't know what to say to this. It wasn't at all like conversation, she thought, as he never said anything to her. In fact, his last remark was evidently addressed to a tree. So she stood and softly repeated to herself,
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. That last line is much too long for the poetry, she added,
almost out loud, forgetting that Humpty Dumpty would hear her. Don't stand chattering to yourself like that, Humpty Dumpty said, looking at her for the first time. Tell me your name and your business.
My name's Alice, but...
It's a stupid name enough, Humpty Dumpty interrupted impatiently. What does it mean?
Must a name mean something?
Alice said, doubtfully. Of course it must, Humpty Dumpty said with a short laugh. Mine means the shape I am, and a good handsome shape it is, too. With a name like yours, you might be any shape, almost.
Why do you sit out here all alone?
Said Alice, not wishing to begin an argument. Why, because there's nobody with me, cried Humpty Dumpty. Did you think I didn't know the answer to that? Ask another.
Don't you think you'd be safer down on the ground?
Alice went on, not with any idea of making another riddle, but simply in her good-natured anxiety for the queer creature.
That wall is so very narrow.
What tremendously easy riddles you ask, Humpty Dumpty growled out. Of course I don't think so. Why, if I ever did fall off, which there's no chance of, but if I did... Here he pursed his lips and looked so solemn and grand that Alice could hardly help laughing. If I did fall, he went on, the king has promised me. Ah, you may turn pale if you like. You didn't think I was going to say that, did you? The king has promised me, with his very own mouth, to
send all his horses and all his men,
Alice interrupted rather unwisely. Now I declare that's too bad, Humpty Dumpty cried, breaking into a sudden passion. You've been listening at doors, and behind trees, and down chimneys, or you couldn't have known it.
I haven't indeed,
Alice said very gently.
It's in a book.
Ah, well, they may write such things in a book, Humpty Dumpty said in a calmer tone. That's what you call a history of England, that is. Now take a look, good look at me. I'm one that has spoken to a king, I am. Mayhap you'll never see such another, and to show you I'm not proud, you may shake hands with me. And he grinned almost from ear to ear as he leant forwards, and as nearly as possible fell off the wall in doing so, and offered Alice his hand. She watched him a little anxiously as she took it.
If he smiled much more, the ends of his mouth might meet behind, she thought. Then I don't know what would happen to his head. I'm afraid it would come off.
Yes, all his horses and all his men, Humpty Dumpty went on. They'd pick me up again in a minute, they would. However, this conversation is going a little too fast. Let's go back to the last remark but one.
I'm afraid I can't remember it, Alice said, very politely.
In that case, we start afresh, said Humpty Dumpty, and it's my turn to choose the subject.
It talks about it just as if it was a game, thought Alice.
So, here's a question for you. How old did you say you were?
Alice made a short calculation and said, 7 years and 6 months.
Wrong, Humpty Dumpty exclaimed triumphantly. You never said a word like it.
Well, I thought you meant, how old are you?
Alice explained. If I'd meant that, I'd have said it, said Humpty Dumpty. Alice didn't want to begin another argument, so she said nothing. 7 years and 6 months, Humpty Dumpty repeated thoughtfully. An uncomfortable sort of age. Now, if you'd asked my advice, I'd have said leave off at 7, but it's too late now.
Well, I never ask advice about growing, Alice said indignantly.
Too proud? The other inquired. Alice felt even more indignant at this question.
I mean, she said, that one can't help growing older.
One can't, perhaps, said Humpty Dumpty, but two can. With proper assistance, you might have left off at 7.
What a beautiful belt you've got on, Alice suddenly remarked.
They'd had quite enough of the subject of age, she thought, and if they really were to take turns in choosing subjects, it was her turn now.
At least, she corrected herself on second thoughts, a beautiful cravat. I should have said, no, a belt, I mean. I beg your pardon,
she asked in dismay, for Humpty Dumpty looked thoroughly offended, and she began to wish she hadn't chosen that subject.
If only I knew, she thought to herself, which was neck and which was waist.
Evidently, Humpty Dumpty was very angry, though he said nothing for a moment or two. When he did speak again, it was in a deep growl. It is a most provoking thing, he said at last, when a person doesn't know a cravat from a belt.
I know it's very ignorant of me, Alice said in so humble a tone that Humpty Dumpty relented.
It's a cravat, child, and a beautiful one, as you say. It's a present from the White King and Queen. There now.
Is it really?
Said Alice, quite pleased to find that she had chosen a good subject after all. They gave it to me, Humpty Dumpty continued thoughtfully, as he crossed one knee over the other and clasped his hands round it. They gave it to me for an unbirthday present.
I beg your pardon,
Alice said with a puzzled air. I'm not offended, said Humpty Dumpty.
I mean, what is an unbirthday present?
A present given when it isn't your birthday, of course. Alice considered a little.
"I like birthday presents best,"
she said at last. "You don't know what you're talking about," cried Humpty Dumpty. "How many days are there in a year?"
365,
said Alice. "And how many birthdays have you?"
"One."
"And if you take one from 365, what remains?"
364, of course.
Humpty Dumpty looked doubtful. "I'd rather see that done on paper," he said. Alice couldn't help smiling as she took out her memorandum book and worked the sum for him. Humpty Dumpty took the book and looked at it carefully. "That seems to be done right," he began.
"You're holding it upside down,"
Alice interrupted. "To be sure I was," Humpty Dumpty said gaily as she turned it round for him. "I thought it looked a little queer. As I was saying, that seems to be done right, though I haven't time to look it over thoroughly just now. That shows that there are 364 days when you might get an un-birthday present."
"Certainly,"
said Alice. "And only one for birthday presents, you know. There's glory for you."
"I don't know what you mean by glory,"
Alice said. Humpty Dumpty smiled contemptuously. "Of course you don't, till I tell you. I meant, there's a nice knock-down argument for you."
"But glory doesn't mean a nice knock-down argument,"
Alice objected. "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said, in rather a scornful tone, "it means just as I choose it to mean, neither more nor less."
"The question is," said Alice, "whether you can make words mean so many different things."
"The question is," said Humpty Dumpty, "which is to be master? That's all." Alice was too much puzzled to say anything, so after a minute Humpty Dumpty began again. "They've a temper, some of them, particularly verbs. They're the proudest. Adjectives you can do anything with, but not verbs. However, I can manage the whole lot of them. Impenetrability. That's what I say."
"Would you tell me, please," said Alice, "what that means?"
"Now you talk like a reasonable child," said Humpty Dumpty, looking very much pleased. "I meant by impenetrability that we've had enough of that subject, and it would be just as well if you'd mention what you mean to do next, as I suppose you don't mean to stop here all the rest of your life."
"That's a good deal to make one word mean,"
Alice said in a thoughtful tone. "When I make a word do a lot of work like that," said Humpty Dumpty, "I always pay it extra."
"Oh,"
said Alice. She was much too puzzled to make any other remark. "Ah, you should see him come round me of a Saturday night," Humpty Dumpty went on, wagging his head gravely from side to side. "For to get their wages, you know." Alice didn't venture to ask what he paid them with, and so you see I can't tell you.
"You seem to be very clever at explaining words, sir,"
said Alice.
"Would you kindly tell me the meaning of the poem called Jabberwocky?"
"Let's hear it," said Humpty Dumpty. "I can explain all the poems that were ever invented, and a good many that haven't been invented just yet." This sounded very hopeful, so Alice repeated the first verse.
"'Twas Brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves, and the mome raths outgrabe."
"Well, that's enough to begin with," Humpty Dumpty interrupted. "There are plenty of hard words there. Brillig means 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the time when you begin broiling things for dinner."
"Oh, that'll do very well,"
said Alice.
"And slithy?"
"Well, slithy means lithe and slimy. Lithe is the same as active. You see, it's like a portmanteau. There are two meanings packed up into one word."
"I see it now," Alice remarked thoughtfully. "And what are toves?"
"Well, toves are something like badgers. There's something like lizards, and there's something like corkscrews."
"They must be very curious-looking creatures."
"They are that," said Humpty Dumpty. "Also, they make their nests under sundials. Also, they live on cheese."
"And what's to gyre and to gimble?"
"To gyre is to go round and round like a gyroscope, and to gimble is to make holes like a gimlet."
"And the wabe is the grass plot around a sundial, I suppose?"
said Alice, surprised at her own ingenuity. "Of course it is. It's called wabe, you know, because it goes a long way before it, and a long way behind it."
"And so a long way beyond it on each side?"
Alice added. Exactly so. Well then, Mimsy is flimsy and miserable. There's another portmanteau for you. And a Borogrove is a thin, shabby-looking bird with its feathers sticking out all round. Something like a live mop.
And then Momraths, said Alice. I'm afraid I'm giving you a great deal of trouble.
Well, a wrath is a sort of a green pig, but Mome, I'm not certain about. I think it's short for from home, meaning that they'd lost their way, you know.
And what does outgrabe mean?
Well, outgribing is something between bellowing and whistling, with a kind of sneeze in the middle. However, you'll hear it done, maybe down in the wood yonder, and then, when you've once heard it, you'll be quite content. Who's been repeating all that hard stuff to you?
I read it in a book, said Alice. But I had some poetry repeated to me much easier than that by Tweedledee, I think it was.
As to poetry, you know, said Humpty Dumpty, stretching out one of his great hands. I can repeat poetry as well as other folk, if it comes to that.
Oh, it needn't come to that,
Alice hastily said, hoping to keep him from beginning. The piece I'm going to repeat, he went on without noticing remark, was written entirely for your amusement. Alice felt that in that case she really ought to listen to it, so she sat down and said,
"Thank you," rather sadly.
In winter, when the fields are white, I sing this song for your delight. Only I don't sing it, he added as an explanation.
I see you don't, said Alice.
If you can see whether I'm singing it or not, you've sharper eyes than most, Humpty Dumpty remarked severely. Alice was silent. In spring, when woods are getting green, I'll try and tell you what I mean.
Thank you very much, said Alice.
In summer, when the days are long, perhaps you'll understand the song. In autumn, when the leaves are brown, take pen and ink and write it down.
I will if I can remember it so long, said Alice.
You needn't go on making remarks like that, Humpty Dumpty said. They're not sensible and they put me out. I sent a message to the fish. I told them this is what I wish. The little fishes of the sea, they sent an answer back to me. The little fish's answer was, we cannot do it, sir, because...
I'm afraid I don't quite understand, said Alice.
It gets easier further on, Humpty Dumpty replied. I sent to them again to say it would be better to obey. The fishes answered with a grin, why, what a temper you are in. I told them once, I told them twice, they would not listen to advice. I took a kettle large and new, fit for the deed I had to do. My heart went hop, my heart went thump, I filled the kettle at the pump. Then someone came to me and said, the little fishes are in bed. I said to him, I said it plain, then you must wake them up again. I said it very loud and clear. I went and shouted in his ear. Humpty Dumpty raised his voice almost to a scream as he repeated this verse, and Alice thought with a shudder, I wouldn't have been the messenger for anything. But he was very stiff and proud. He said, you needn't shout so loud. And he was very proud and stiff. He said, I'll go and wake them if... I took a corkscrew from the shelf. I went to wake them up myself. And when I found the door was locked, I pulled and pushed and kicked and knocked. And when I found the door was shut, I tried to turn the handle, but... There was a long pause.
Is that all?
Alice timidly asked. That's all, said Humpty Dumpty. Goodbye. This was rather sudden, Alice thought, but after such a very strong hint that she ought to be going, she felt that it would hardly be civil to stay. So she got up and held out her hand.
Goodbye, till we meet again,
she said as cheerfully as she could. I shouldn't know you again if we did meet, Humpty Dumpty replied in a discontented tone, giving him one of his fingers to shake. You're so exactly like other people.
The face is what one goes by generally,
Alice remarked in a thoughtful tone. That's just what I complain of, said Humpty Dumpty. Your face is the same as everybody has. The two eyes, so, marking their places in the air with his thumb, nose in the middle, mouth under. It's always the same. Now, if you had the two eyes on the same side of the nose, for instance, or the mouth at the top, well, that would be some help.
It wouldn't look nice,
Alice objected. But Humpty Dumpty only shut his eyes and said, wait till you've tried. Alice waited a moment to see if he would speak again, but as he never opened his eyes or took any further notice of her, she said,
"Goodbye,"
once more, and getting no answer to this, she quietly walked away. But she couldn't help saying to herself as she went,
"All the unsatisfactory,"
she repeated this aloud, as if it was a great comfort to have such a long word to say.
Of all the unsatisfactory people I ever met.
She never finished the sentence, for at this moment a heavy crash shook the forest from end to end. The end of that chapter, and thank you so much, Quentin, for... Oh, he's gone.
Yes, I suppose he had to get back to work. Would you like to hear another chapter, Teddy? Well, that one was really good, but do you know what I'd like to do? I don't like that grin on his face.
Oh, that's all right. What would you like to do, young Teddy?
I would like to go on an adventure. I have some recording to do. Bye.
Goodbye, Rosie. What? What do you mean, an adventure?
Well, can't we go somewhere and look maybe at a place where you used to live, Uncle Tony?
Place where I used to live? Well, there are so many. Venice, delightful Venice.
Ventsis, where is that?
That's in Italy.
Italy? That's very far. I don't know if we should be back by dinner. Is there anywhere closer that you've lived?
Well, long ago, long, long ago, I actually did share some lodgings with your father.
Well, Dad, where did you live?
Well, it was an area of town called Spitalfields.
Spitalfields? That sounds disgusting.
Well, that's not really what it means, Teddy. It used to be called Hospital Fields, you see, and then it was shortened to Spitalfields, I suppose, because people couldn't bother to say the whole thing at once.
Well, that's very interesting. Can we go there?
Well, it's been rather a long time since I've been there, and I'm not exactly... where it was that... Well, I mean, I know the street address, I suppose.
Could we apparate there? It would take a very short amount of time. And then, or we could use some flu powder. I'm sure I'd be able to travel with flu powder. Or you could do a sidelong with me, or...
One moment, darling, let me see. Well, I don't really know about this. I mean, I've actually... Well, I don't know if I should be taking you anywhere.
Oh, Mum and Solange won't be back for ages yet, and I really, really, really want to... I'd love to see where you live, Tony, because I just want to get out of the house. It's such a beautiful day, and I love you to read me stories, but I would really love to see where you used to live, and you could tell me all about it.
Well, that's very flattering of you. Well, goodness sake. All right, well, I suppose. I think I remember the address. Let's see, we lived on, was it Fournier? Folgate? Started with an F. Folgate. But I believe it was Folgate Street, yes. And there was a lovely, lovely chap that lived near us. What was his name? Dennis something? Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, let's see. Oh, I think it was Ten. All right, we'll do a side along now. Now, you've done a side along before, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I definitely have.
All right, now, just put your little arms around me and we'll go, okay? Let's see. All right, I'm remembering. Okay. 10 Folgate Street, Spitalfields, London.
Oh! I'm a bit dizzy.
Well, that's all right, darling. She'll stop in a moment. Oh, look at... Oh, what a charming area of London. Oh, I hope no one saw us just appear in... Oh, it's a good thing there's no one on this street right now. Oh, my goodness. It appears to be getting dark. When did we leave?
Well, I don't think it was that late. Why is it getting dark so early?
I don't know. Oh, I must have... Oh, I do have trouble with apparition. Oh, my goodness. We should be here at exactly the time that we... Oh, my goodness. Well, we shan't worry about that, shall we? Now, let me see. Number 10. Oh, here it is right in front of us. Isn't it? Well, it's lovely. It's...
Uncle Tony?
Yes?
That doesn't look like a house to me.
Well, it was a long time ago that we lived here, and it's a... Well, looks like it's some offices. But I assure you, there was a house here at one point. I mean, if we go down the street, we can see a lovely old home.
So there was a house here, and when you lived here, there was a house.
Yes, yes, there was a house. It was a lovely house. Oh, it was a... Let's see, how many? We had a ground floor and three floors above. Oh, we each had our own floor, and we had a lovely, lovely floor with our dining area, and we had a, on the ground floor, we could have meetings, and oh, it was just, it was a delightful place to live. Oh, I remember it well. The stories I could...
Tony?
Yes, darling?
Let's go exploring.
Well, it's getting a bit dark. I don't know. I think maybe we should return. I seem to have made a little mistake in my time calculations. No,
let's just go exploring for a little bit, okay? I mean, you know our address, right?
Yes, of course I know the address, yes. Yes, I know the address. And I mean, you know, I could always take you back to your home in Ferncliff.
Well, that's true. Anyway, shall we explore?
Well, all right. Let's walk down the street here and... Oh, see, there's the house I was pointing out where our friends used to live. Dennis. Yes, that was his name. Anyway, and... oh, it's just a lovely home. Been here forever. And let's turn here and go down the street a bit, shall we?
All right. Oh, it's very interesting. It doesn't look like the street we were on, Uncle Tony. This street is a bit more dirty.
Well, yes, I suppose it is a little bit more dirty, but we shall find a more interesting street. Never you mind. Never fear.
Uncle Tony?
Yes, darling?
There's people are staring at us.
Well, I certainly don't know why they'd be staring at us.
I don't know. They're looking very funny at us. Are we wearing funny clothes, Uncle Tony?
Oh, I don't think so. Anyway, perhaps they'll think we're on our way to a fancy dress. I don't really know what muggles... Well, I know what female muggles wear, and... Oh, male muggles wear some very drab things indeed. Oh, there's a very interesting outfit on that one. All right, let's turn onto this street. It's much nicer.
Oh... Well, I really don't think this is much nicer.
Well, no, it actually isn't. Oh, now it's getting dark, you know. I think we'd better go... Oh, my.
What? What?
I think we'd better turn around. Let's turn around, Teddy, right now.
Why? Would you look... Oh, Uncle Tony, I recognise that lady.
Yes, I do too, and I do believe...
Oi! Oh, you!
Oh, I do believe we'd better leave. Let me see. We'll try to dash into this corner and...
Oh, are you? Oh, no, it's you. Ooh, I'm going to call the police on you. I'm going to call the constable on you. I've seen you at that big fancy house and you done friend me.
Now then, young lady, I really have no idea what you're talking about.
Oi, Alfie. Get over here!
Oh, my goodness!
Uncle Tony, who's that terrible-looking man?
Hello, sir. Good evening to you. Good evening to you. What are you doing threatening my tart? I've no idea what you're talking about, I'm sure. You, what are you, some kind of pedo out of this little kid, eh?
Yeah, Ralphie, that's what he is. He's a pedo, and he threatened me too. Threatened to gut me and bite me and... Oh, I was so scared I ran out, you know? That was 50 quid. I missed out on 50 quid. That's... he didn't give me my 50 quid. You need to get it from him right now.
Oh, I think I will. He don't look like he could put up much of a fight. Now, listen here, sir. I'd hate to have to engage in fisticuffs with you.
Fisticuffs? Oh, my lord, you hear that? Oh, fisticuffs. Ain't he the little prancy lord with his fisticuffs?
I do know the Marquess of Queensbury rules, you know.
Marquess of fucking Queensbury, listen to this toff. Oh, my God. I'm going to kick your ass, mate.
Kick my... I hardly see why my ass has anything to do with this.
Uncle Tony, do something. I'm getting really frightened. Oh, look at that little kid. He was there too, Alfie. I think we ought to take that little kid with us when we go.
He's a likely little bloke too. And look... What the hell's going on with his hair? Teddy, get behind me.
What? Do you see that, Alfie? It done changed colour.
Oh, no. I'm not looking at that. I'm just going to get my 50 quid from you, mister. Oh, heavens, that's a... Why, it's a very large knife. And yes, it is, and it's going to gut you like a fish unless you give me my 50 quid. And when I get done with you, that little green-haired thing is going to see something too.
Uncle Tony, you need to do something.
Excuse me, sir. What? Did you just threaten this young lad behind me?
Oh, what are you going to do about it? Talk me out of it? You're going to talk me to death, eh? Eh?
Yeah, he's going to talk you to death. Oh, you're not so tough, are you now? Oh, I think I was just hallucinating, that's all. He ain't got no fangs. He's not tough. We're going to take that little kid and rip him up too, eh? Eh?
Do not threaten the boy, if you know what's good for you. Oh, if I know what's good for me, I know what's good for you. I got this 12-inch knife right up to your neck. And let me tell you what I'm gonna... What's going on?
These, sir, are what you are about to feel on your neck, you rogue. Get that knife away from me!
The knife clatters to the ground.
What's going on? What's wrong with his mouth? Oh, Lord!
Oh, God! Oh, no, I'm out of here! I'm out of here!
Wait, come... Oh, my God! Oh!
Yes, yes, this is what you're going to get. You never threaten my young charge. You never...
Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord!
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Uncle Tony?
Yes, 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 darling.
I think we need to get out of here really fast.
Oh, my goodness. What have I done? Oh,
he doesn't look too good, Uncle Tony. Is he going to be a vampire?
Oh, no. I don't think anyone could ever recover from that. We must... Oh, I'm flustered.
We've got to get out of here. You've got to apparate me right now. The constables are going to come, Uncle Tony. Come on.
Oh my God. This is terrible. I haven't done anything like this in years. Oh, my God.
Uncle Tony, you can't be hysterical. I know this is really terrible, but thank you for protecting me. We've got to get out of here right now because I can see some people coming around the corner and this looks very bad.
Yes, yes, darling, yes. I'm going to take you to my home because I can't remember anything else. All right. 12 Market Street, Ferncliff.
The end. You'll have to wait for the exciting conclusion.